David Congleton has proven F. Scott Fitzgerald wrong. The famed writer from the Jazz Age once said, "There are no second acts in American life." Congleton says he's had three acts in his life. He's worked as an academic after graduating from Illinois State University with a master's degree. And he hated teaching. So in his next act, in 1987, he worked up the courage to move to California to pursue his dream as a screenwriter.
So I'm in Los Angeles, and I wrote, like, I don't know, eight really bad scripts. I mean, these things were awful.
Really?
And I fell on my face, and I licked my wounds, and decided that that was never going to happen. So I moved to San Luis Obispo, which is just north of Santa Barbara, and I became the big fish in the small pond. I became a newspaper reporter and a columnist, and I got a radio show back in 1992 because nobody else was willing to work for $12,000 a year. And I just hung on with that radio job, and it became a real job. But the dream never stopped. And in 2005, I was talked by friends into giving it one last try. And this time around, Laura, the difference is that I wrote from the heart, and I wrote what I knew about,
well,
and that was writers.
Isn't that the secret to good writing, is to write what you know? I mean,
yep, that's it exactly, because that first time around,
what were you writing?
I was writing the big commercial concept ideas. What if a dog becomes human and has 24 hours to rescue his kidnapped owner? I wrote that. Thank you very much. Authors Anonymous, which I called Scribble, by the way.
I like that.
Came from the heart and came from my experience as a struggling writer. And the second movie that we're inching towards production with, Seven Sisters, is about a guy who overcomes personal loss by taking up hiking, and he hikes the famed Seven Sisters of the Central Coast of California. So what's the message here? The message is, when you write what you know and you write from the heart, you have a much better chance of selling a screenplay. And I got Authors Anonymous sold because the other part of this I always stress is that it's not enough to be a good writer. You have to find somebody who knows that you're a good writer and believes in you and is willing to advocate for you.
Well, how did you do
and
that?
In this case, it was a casting director who I was able to get the script to, a casting director. She loved the script. She kicked it up to people, producers, directors, people were actually able to make the movie. She kicked open the door for me. So you have to have something worth producing, but then you also have to make sure people know that it exists.
So networking is half the job?
And networking is easily half the job. And I think that's the big mistake that beginning writers make, is that they think, oh, all I have to do is write, whether it's a screenplay or a book. You know, oh, I'm just going to write it, and then my agent and my publicist will take care of it. No. You have to get out there and hustle. You have got to be out there introducing yourself. I've been a professional writer since 1989, which means I've been paid. I've done every genre imaginable, and every single gig I have gotten has been because of somebody I met and somebody who advocated for me, whether it was the radio job or the newspaper job or getting Authors Anonymous made. It's all about personal connection.
Your film, Authors Anonymous, focuses in on a writing group. Have you ever been a part of a writing group? Do you think they're healthy?
Well, yeah, it's funny. I get that asked that a lot. The truth is, I ran a writer's conference for 12 years, another job that I got because of somebody that I knew. And I know the unpublished novelist. I know that character all too well. I would never be in a writing group.
Why not? Why?
Because most of them are pointless. You've got to have the right mix of people. I mean, that's the whole premise of Authors Anonymous. It's about a critique group, and it's kind of inspired by a true story. You know, here are these six unpublished novelists. They get together once a week, and they cheer each other on, all for one for all. But then what happens when one of them really makes it, and they get an agent?
Look at her. Look at that glow.
Actually, I did meet a guy.
Yes.
Told ya.
His name is Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready.
He's my new agent.
Right.
So you know that writing class I was taking? Well, for the final project, I had to turn in the first chapter of Sleeping on the Moon, and I guess my teacher really liked it, so he gave it to his friend, Brian, who happened to be an agent. He called me. He wants to sign me.
Bet Brian wants more than that.
That is so fantastic.
Yes, wonderful, young lady.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I salute you.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Where's he located? I mean, where is he?
Beverly Hills.
Is he gay?
No. No. Maybe.
And then they get a book deal. And then they get a movie deal. And then some other things happen. How do the other five react? Well, of course, it implodes because of all the envy. The key to being a mature writer is that you've overcome this sense of envy and jealousy, and you are happy for the success of other writers because you realize that when one succeeds, we all succeed. If you get an agent, that's really great news because that means that agents are out looking for talent. And I struggled with that for years.
Well, how did you manage to lose that jealousy?
Well, the short version of the story is that Authors Anonymous is inspired by the success of a famous author named Katherine Ryan Hyde, who wrote the novel Pay It Forward. And it wasn't just a novel, it became a movement. Everybody says Pay It Forward now. Why? Because of Katherine's novel. Well, in 1999, she had this incredible run of success. She got a four-book deal with Simon & Schuster. She got a big-time New York agent. She got a movie based on the movie, on the book, with Kevin Spacey, of all people. And then Bill Clinton invites her to the White House so he can watch the movie with her. How much success is one writer allowed to have? So Pay It Forward comes out, the movie, and we're at the premiere, and I'm sitting right behind Katherine, and she is my friend. I love this woman. I'm happy for her, but I'm also jealous. And I'm driving home that night, and I turned to my wife, and I said in this raw moment, you know, I'm really jealous of Katherine. Look at all her success. And here's the epiphany. My wife, who's very sharp, named Charlotte, she says, well, you know what? Katherine does the work. You don't do the work. So 5 years later, when I started to write Scribble, which became Authors Anonymous, that is the nugget. The woman, Hannah, played by Kaley Cuoco, succeeds with all this stuff because she does the work. And these other five, they dream about it. You know, they try to take shortcuts. But there really is a message to this movie, and that is there are no shortcuts to success. You have got to do the work. Writing comes first. And Hannah succeeds because she's the only one who gets that.
David, it must have been very exciting for you after so many years to have your screenplay turned into a movie. But I'm wondering, was it hard for you after the film wrapped and you left Hollywood, you had to go back home, back to your day job? Was that difficult for you, that transition? It was almost like you would have needed a decompression chamber to go from one to the other.
Yeah, what a great question. And I gladly answer it. I just don't want to seem as egotistical, but you have to understand the context. When that happened, when Authors Anonymous filmed in August of 2012, we shot for 3 weeks in Los Angeles. You have to imagine what I was going through. We had been in and out of production for 8 years. I had been chasing this dream basically for 25 years. I had been told by members of my own family to give up, right?
Yeah.
So then you're on set for 3 weeks, and it's not like you're a god or anything, but at one point or another, all the actors, crew members, are coming up to you saying, you know, we're not making any money on this. We just did this because we loved the script.
That must have felt amazing.
Well, it was. And then on the last day of a wrap, they have this big Hollywood party at this nightclub down in Hollywood. And there's a very famous Hollywood blog called Deadline Hollywood. Nikki Fink used to run it. And the story broke. Kaley Cuoco stars in Scribble. And there's my name, written by David Congleton. So, you know, you've got 3 weeks of this. Your dream is coming true. Everything you wanted is there. And then you wake up the next morning, and you got to get in your car, and you got to drive home and go back to your day job. And for 2 weeks, I was in a really deep depression.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like Cinderella at the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are at the ball, and then the clock strikes midnight, and it's over. But, you know, there'll be other chances.
Well, of course, your presentation, the first line, the first three words is, George Clooney laughed. Can you tell me, did you make George Clooney laugh?
You
can't tell me?
Oh. come. There is a George Clooney story, but I can't give it away.
Oh, boy.
Because then people won't come.
Does everybody in Hollywood have a George Clooney story? He seems like
so.
A man about town.
I hope so. He really is a nice man.
David, in addition to doing radio and doing film as well, you're into animal rescue.
Yes. You have to be careful what you wish for. Because for years I wanted to be an author. I wanted to have a book come out. And in December 1997, we had a house fire in San Luis Obispo, and we lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 animals in the house fire.
Oh, my goodness.
It was one of those life-defining moments. And this is one of the reasons it took me so long to get the screenwriting. Because when you go through something like that, your whole life changes. And for the next, 5, 6 years, my specialty was pet loss and writing about animals. So my first book came out, 3 cats, 2 dogs, 1 journey through multiple pet loss. And it went on to win a national writing award. I got all this praise. I became this expert. And I wrote another book about what happens if you die, what happens to your animals. And we ended up in a new house with 12 cats and
Whoa.
5 dogs. But when you lose 5 like that, you go through that period where you try to save all the others. So now all those are gone, and we're down to a more manageable 3 cats and 5 dogs. But my wife is the executive director of the local Humane Society. We never would have predicted that. And I'm very proud of all the writing I did about animals, but frankly, I woke up one morning, I said, well, is this how I want to spend my writing? Is this what I want to be known for? And the answer was no. I want to do the screenwriting. So let's get back to it.
Is there an idea that you have in your heart of hearts that you're looking forward to writing that you haven't begun yet?
Oh, Laura, on my desk right now, I'm looking at a wire basket and it's overflowing with ideas, little scraps of paper. The great opportunity I just had is I just got back from Spain. I was on the faculty of a writing retreat simply because the woman who ran the retreat saw Authors Anonymous and loved it. As she insisted I come over, all expenses paid, and be on the faculty. There was 12 students from around the world, all interested in screenwriting, and 4 of us on faculty. I mentored a woman from Pittsburgh who wrote this amazing little screenplay about growing up Jewish in Pittsburgh. And I'm not Jewish, but this script just spoke to me. And there was a producer on the faculty. I just went to this producer and I said, you are not leaving here until you option this woman's script.
Whoa.
I don't know, it just came out of me, something happened. He read the script, he said, you're absolutely right, but I'm going to do it on one condition, and that is that you come on board and help me produce it. Again, it goes back to personal connection. This woman, Ruth, has me now as an advocate. And I went to Brian, and because he had seen Authors Anonymous, he knew that I was legitimate. So now I'm going to be producing a movie, which I had never anticipated at all.
David, if you had one really good networking tip to share, what would that be?
What I tell people, and what surprises me when I speak to writers, the first thing out of my mouth is I always give my personal email address. I invite them to Facebook me. I invite them to connect with me on LinkedIn. And maybe 10% of the people will. I can't force people to connect with me. But when a door opens, you got to go through it.
That's author, screenwriter, and radio personality David Congleton. He's presenting George Clooney Laughed, Mostly True Tales of a Hollywood Writer, at 7 p.m. tomorrow in Cape and Auditorium. The talk follows a free screening of Authors Anonymous. I'm Laura Kennedy.